Chuck Chat Freestyle for Saturday, January 27, 2006. Did I say 27? Thank you, Dina.
You did that last time too.
I have to stop and think of what month is it, what day is it.
Yeah. You need to change your Skype picture to say, instead of stop writing 2006, stop saying 2006.
Oh, I thought I said January 26th. I said January 27th, but I said 2006.
Six, yeah.
Thank you,
all
Dina.
Right, moving right along.
Dina Scott has joined me once again. Thought that was so interesting on the last show that we'd carry it over to this one.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me back.
How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
Yeah, it's it's a beautiful sunny day in California, so I can't complain.
It was a sunny day here, but probably a little chillier than it was there. I think it got up to all of 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh. No, we were in about the mid-60s, so.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm headed to Raleigh, Carolina, North Carolina tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Well, actually Sunday, but.
Sunday?
Since mm-hmm. we dated this as a Saturday show, it's technically Friday night, but, you know, podcasting just messes with our minds anyway.
That's true.
And then Sunday I record a show that's dated Wednesday, and, you know, just. Mm. It's a whole crazy time-space continuum thing.
But, so do you and Craig have, like, a lot of plans, or?
No. I'm going to be getting there late afternoon, evening. It's about a 30-minute drive from Charlotte. I'll be flying into Charlotte. Mm-hmm. That's 30 minutes to his house. So we'll probably catch dinner, do the show, and then I've got a 3-hour drive back to Raleigh, North Carolina. So if we record at the regular time, I'm probably going to be rolling into Raleigh about 2 a.m.,
ooh,
and
yeah.
I've got to work first thing Monday morning, so it's going to be a tough one. Unless I sleep the whole way from Chicago to Charlotte, which probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't sleep on planes either. It's kind of creepy, actually, if you think about it. You know, you're sitting so close to a complete stranger, and then you're actually going to go to sleep next to them.
It's true.
You ever thought about that? I don't do that. I'm telling you. Well, maybe it's not that big of a deal for men, but, you know. I don't know. The thought of sleeping next to some strange man? I don't think so.
So suddenly a vision of that movie Road Trip comes to mind where the girl was on the bus and she wakes up and this guy's licking her toes.
Aren't there any normal men in this world?
I don't think I ever saw that movie. But the visual is pretty funny, actually.
It gives you the willies. It gives me the willies.
Yeah. Yeah, see, exactly. That's my point. Yeah, I don't want to wake up finding somebody licking my toes or sticking peanuts in my hair.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's just the things I think about.
Oh, well, geez. I had a couple of things jotted down here. We had a few things that we were chatting about after the fact, after we shut down the mic on the last show. So we got material for this one.
Perfect.
I wanted to give a follow-up on some of the things we talked about. We were talking about listening and communicating with your spouse and you know, how Donna and I can quickly escalate in our conversations. And they turn defensive and sometimes hostile. I don't want to put the wrong image across. We are very happily married. We wouldn't have made it to 18 and a half years if we weren't. But you know, there are some times when the harmony seems out of balance. We're not one of those families that goes and just bickering all the time. That I can't do that in front of the kids. I can't do that in front of family. So why do it in front of your spouse?
Right.
But just little things seem to get under our skin fast sometimes. It's gotten better as we've been married longer. I don't know if we're just learning to stay out of each other's hair or what topics to avoid. But wanted to give a follow-up on some of that. You had mentioned the whole listening thing and the differences in communicating. Why do I feel like I'm talking to a marital counselor radio talk show host?
Yes, darling. Talk to Dr. Dina. She will solve all your problems. Go ahead. Pour your heart out to me.
Thank you, Dr. Dina, for taking my call. The mobile home, we just got evicted from our mobile home.
really. Pink. We had a... I'm making improvements, and that's what I want to do every day. I want to try to be a better dad, a better boss, a better husband. Just, you know, continuous improvement. So I took some of this advice, and when I think it was dinner last night, dinner just finished. The kids went off to watch TV or over somebody's house or something. They weren't in the immediate area. They might have been in the house, but I didn't see them. And Donna said, "Why don't we just talk?" I said, "What would you like to talk about?" And she said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, let's talk about our upcoming family trip. Would you like me to make reservations? We're headed to Chicago in April, by the way. Some people may already know this, but the first week of April, there's no school. It's the week right before Easter. That's spring break. And I wanted to take a 2-3 day trip down to Chicago. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, April, what is that? 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th? Something like that. That Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be there. I have also been asked to be a speaker at the Chicago Podcasting Association meetup.
Oh, neat.
They meet on the first Tuesday of each month. You can go to podcasting.meetup.com/72 and check out all the details. Tom Kim is the organizer's name, and Phil Clark IM'd me yesterday just before he left for Hawaii. Lucky dog.
Oh, yeah.
And said, "Would you be interested in talking, being a guest speaker?" I said, "What do you want me to talk about?" And he threw out a handful of topics, and I'm arranging something with Tom. So that should be interesting.
That should be fun.
A little minor celebrity status and meet some friends. Yeah. Greg will be there from Dancing with Elephants. Phil and Mike Lingefelter from Brit and Yankee Pubcast. What are the girls' names from Chicago Bites? They do like restaurant reviews and places to go eat. Good eateries in the Chicago area.
Good topic for a podcast from Chicago, that's for sure.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember. I apologize, but it is late, and my brain is fried. Lots of other people are going to be there. It's going to be very interesting. And looking forward to meeting a lot of these people that I've heard of. And some have met, and others looking forward to meeting them.
How fun.
So I'm going to be leveraging some of my business and personal travel to further the podcasting community. So in Raleigh, I will be down in Raleigh, yes, on Monday.
Well, it is kind of down, isn't it?
I'm getting my name and place and time mixed up now at this point. I can't even keep my verbs straight. Sunday night, I'll be visiting Craig. We'll be doing Technorama face-to-face. And then April, I mentioned, is Chicago. And I just found out that my UK trip for work, we're going to be moving our office in Scotland from first floor to third floor for space considerations, yada, yada, yada. That was originally scheduled for February 23rd. It's been pushed back a week. The move date will be March 2nd. So I will be in the UK that week before, which is the 29th, 30th, or 31st in February.
I don't think there is, no.
I don't know what that makes it anymore.
But you know what? I'm always looking for more time, so you're welcome to add it if you want.
Whatever that Monday is before that first Friday, that's when I'll be around. So
very cool. Jimmy, so you have to go all the way to Scotland just to move an office from the first floor to the third floor?
There's more to it than that. See, I was there about just over 2 years ago, right as I was starting to get into podcasting. I think I was actually composing the intro for what was originally this show. Well, I was over there end of November of 2004, and I know the infrastructure, but that's not the reason I'm going. We're bringing another technology guy and a director over there to get this all done. We're sort of building some political bridges at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a counterpart in Kelso, Scotland. Our office is in Livingston, and we're trying to get him to take some ownership of this, because it's very difficult for us to support them when they're 6 hours ahead of me and 5 hours ahead of the guy in Raleigh who normally takes care of this. They got to wait until noon before someone comes in to solve their IT problems.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. So if the guy an hour away can provide some support, that would be lovely. So we're involving him in this whole move process, and he'll get familiar with the technology and know what the wiring closet looks like, all kinds of things. So It'll just work out better. So I have three objectives. One is it's a learning experience for me, growth at work. Second one is to get Charlie, who's the guy over there, and I found out there's an interesting euphemism they use over there. What is it called? I've done a Charlie, or I've become a Charlie. It was just explained to me today. It was kind of funny, but I don't remember it. And the third one escapes me at the moment, but it came up in a discussion with my boss. So there's multiple reasons for doing this. And I'm looking forward to the trip because that'll give me a chance to meet people like Richard Vobes and Jimmy Hastel. Jimmy has stepped up and he's going to volunteer to help coordinate all the travel. So if I want to say I want to meet Mel Turford from Glastonbury Podcasting up in the Isle of Avalon, I say, hey, Jimmy, what's it take to do that? Do I need a day? Do I need a train? Do I need a car? Can I drive? I have no idea. I have no concept of distance. I can look at the map and kind of go, well, maybe it's a lot of crooked roads. But if I want to see Paul Nichols in Birmingham, or so I'll be in the southern end for a day or two. I originally was going to talk to a gentleman by the name of Andy Mitchell. Meet up in London on the original date. I still need to clear that up with him because we were going to talk. He's the one who did a Firefox extension for Gmail for getting things done. I don't know if you're a student of David Allen's getting things done methodology of productivity management, but I've been doing it for about 4 years now. And he's made an add-on to Gmail, and I do the Gmail podcast, so this sort of made sense. And we were going to have a face-to-face interview in London the original week, so I need to find out if he's available to reschedule at this point. So that'll be neat to meet with him. And then it's up to the office to do some moving on that first weekend of March, stick around for an extra day to make sure nobody has any problems when they come into work Monday morning, and then I'm back here. So lots of traveling. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be an awesome start to 2007.
It sounds like it.
Q1 is going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get around
and meet all sorts of really, really fun people.
And
so I take it you're not heading to D.C. then.
Where did you hear that?
Well, I think everybody got the email, didn't they? For Manager Tools? That's what I was talking about, at least.
Oh, that. Because I had a side discussion. I was thinking about that. I really was. But with plane fare and the timing, I don't think that one's going to work out. I'm hoping they do another one, maybe in the Chicago or the Minneapolis Twin Cities area.
Yeah.
I'd love to attend that. I really would, especially this early in my management career. For those who don't know, Dina and I both listen to a podcast called Manager Tools. I've talked about it a few times on Technorama. Very good if you're in the management role. A lot of excellent free content. I can't say enough about the show. The hosts are terrific. One of which is my professional management mentor, at least for a little while longer. I will be seeing Mark again on February 4th. I think that's a week from this coming Sunday. So Craig's going to be handling Technorama on his own, or maybe he'll call in somebody for help. I don't know, but I won't be around. Unfortunately.
That's too bad.
So
yeah, I've been kind of thinking about it.
I can't make that one, and if I could, I wanted to maybe sneak in a little extra time and visit with T. Morris, who is also in that area.
Right, he's in Virginia, isn't he?
Right.
I think Manassas, if I remember correctly.
You remember... he's in... Oh, dang, there's a DVD sitting in my car waiting to be mailed to him. What does it say on it? See it, the label's right on it. I gotta mail it to him. Otherwise I'd look it up in Gmail.
So I was wrong, huh? Not Manassas.
No,
I must
it's
be thinking
not
of someone else then.
No, it's if you said it I'd know it, but I'm not gonna look
it. Is it like
up
a
right
big
now.
City?
No, you're gonna make me look.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, we moving right along.
Moving right along.
We I'm still looking. I can't talk and look at the same time. You had expressed some interest in karate.
Yes.
The topic of it anyway.
Yeah, I am interested in that.
I had started taking classes. Actually, let me back up a bit. May of 2006, my youngest daughter Lisa was at one of these health fairs at her grade school. And they had kids with their displays of the human heart and, you know, the circulatory system and whatnot. And the local karate school, it's a chain throughout the U.S. called Karate America. And there's one here in Appleton. Actually, I think there's two now. There's one called Karate America Appleton East. I don't know how they got so many franchises in this area, but
is Appleton big enough to have an East and a West?
Oh, yes. There's three high schools in Appleton of significant size.
Wow.
And if you couple that with the rest of the adjacent, what they call the Fox Cities, Kaukauna, Combined Locks, Little Chute, Grand Chute, there's probably a 250,000 people in this immediate area.
Mm-hmm.
This is very flat and spread out. So anyway, she was at the health fair and won a 30-day trial to Karate America. So we went, and she enjoyed it and really kind of took to it like a fish to water. And we signed her up. And the way that the program is structured is you get a white uniform for 6 months for, well, I think it was like $100 a month or something. And we had walked by the school before. They used to be in kind of a strip mall. We'd walked by the school a number of times and seen all the little kids going, you know, punch, aya, punch, aya, punch, aya. And I said, what is the value? You know, why should I teach my kids to fight? But yeah, it was really much more than that. When I sat down, they're teaching that fighting should only be used as a last case. And this is a good way to defend yourself if you ever find yourself in this situation. They also teach self-defense techniques. If a stranger grabs your wrist, how do you break that wrist lock? Well, you know, you look for the weak spot and you run the other direction. But they also teach, and this is the thing that really kept me interested, they also teach leadership skills, great life skills, respect, yeah, terrific. I can't remember any of them.
really cool stuff, though.
yeah. Paying attention. You know, everything is yes, sir, yes, ma'am, which, you know, you come to expect in a martial arts school anyway. But they don't take any screwing around. They have a motto that says, have fun, but don't be funny. Like, this is my class, and I'm the instructor, and I've got four stripes on my black belt, so... Yeah, you don't.
yeah.
And the idea is that these things will carry over to home. And, you know, you start listening to your parents better. You make sure you clean up your room and do your homework, all that kind of stuff. And after 6 months, you have the option of, well, you have to actually be nominated to go to black belt training. You get a blue uniform, you get a little more gear, some protective equipment, because they do a little more sparring and whatnot. And Lisa, I think her decision time was about September, October, and we talked about this. It's a 2.5-year commitment. She's got to keep going. And I said, all right, do you want to do this? Because it means you'll have to give up some other things. And we went through this and had a couple of days to think about it. And she made the decision that she wants to go forward with it. Well, about August, you know, golf was winding down for us, and I was about to get off my normal summer routine and start going into the fall routine. And I said, I really need to do something. I just, you know, you get over 40 and you start thinking about these things. How's the heart? Am I, you know, as fit as I want to be? Not really. Who is? And there happens to be a discount for, you know, second, third, fourth family members who join. So I said, hey, you know, why not? I can try it out for a little while. And I tried it, and I went, this is pretty good. For the adults, it's a decent workout. Kids, they do a completely different program, which kind of makes me wonder, you know, how good is a 12-year-old black belt versus, you know, a 24-year-old black belt? But that aside, I've been going about 5 months, and this week I pulled the trigger and said, I want to go for black belt training also. So hopefully...
Wow, so you made the commitment.
I made the commitment. I will continue to go. And I'm not sure how I feel quite about, you know, sparring and things. Thursday night is sparring night, and we'll be doing some exercises and practicing with weapons. I used to play around with nunchucks when I was in college. Somebody brought them into work one time, and so I know a few basic untrained moves, but I'm not afraid of those. But sparring has me... I've got a bit of trepidation to that because I don't know how I feel about, you know, going on the offense and then switching to defense and going, I don't like being hit. I'm just, yeah. I'm a typical geek, you know. Somebody takes a swing at me, I'm going to run away. I think I was in a total of 2 fights in my whole life, and I got pummeled both times. And it was like, they landed one hit, I hated it, and I ran.
Well, maybe that'll entice you to get really, really good because then you won't get hit as often.
That's kind of like telling a football player that they'll run better if they don't like falling down. They're going to get knocked down.
Well, yeah, I can see where that could be a problem.
Maybe if you run faster.
That's funny. I'm just like envisioning you like whizzing around the, you know, the mat, you know, bobbing and weaving and
Well, you know, that is one of the ways that they defend. We've done some basic defensive skills. You know, one person will take swings at the other person, and step one is get out of the way. If somebody takes a swing at you, back up, you know, weave to the side, duck, don't get hit. Because if they land something, it probably will hurt.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. So tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, as this is being recorded, I will be presented with my blue uniform.
How exciting.
It's a big step. I feel like I just bought a car or something. I'm making a big commitment.
Well, you are. That's a pretty, you know, a time commitment. You've got a lot of things going on. So
yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like me making a commitment to going back to school. You know, I'm just thinking, am I nuts? I don't know if I can commit that long, but...
That is a big commitment. I've thought about that myself, going, do I want to do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not getting any younger. Kind of like, you know, you going to karate. I just figured, you know, there's nothing holding me back right now other than just, you know, pushing aside some things to bring it up to being a priority, so...
Are you going for a master's or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a long road.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and it's, I've been very lucky. I'm one of those people that I'm, you know, I'm pretty good at just about anything that I try out. You know, my mom always says, you know, what Dina does really well. And what Dina doesn't do well, Dina doesn't do. So needless to say, I don't like to fail. And this is actually the first time since I'm getting, you know, I'm starting to study for my GMAT that, you know, I'm old. You know, it's been a long time since I was, you know, I took statistics and math. And, you know, frankly, I didn't pay that much attention in school. And
but you know what? I think I would have a completely different study ethic now than I did back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you recognize the value, you know what the outcomes are, you know what's expected, just sort of a maturity level versus, you know, when I was 18, 19, 20 in college, just obviously if something piques your interest, you're going to naturally do well.
Right.
I took to electronics, I took to computer programming, and I loved doing it and I did well. It was the required stuff that I didn't really have an interest in that I, you know, kind of took half-hearted and scraped by and, you know, said, well, that's good enough.
Right.
I don't think I would have that same ethic anymore going, you know, this counts just as much.
Yeah, and that's where I'm realizing that, you know, I've been in business for a long time, but project management, you know, requires different skill sets and different pieces of knowledge. And I did really well because I went back to school and finished up my bachelor's, but changed my degree program. So I had to take all my upper division courses over again. I was on a management track before. I mean, sorry, not management, but marketing track. And I decided to switch over to IT. So my last, all my upper division classes were all taking programming classes. And I did really well. You know, I graduated with a 3.85 GPA.
Very good.
So, you know, I have certain aptitude, but I think I'm just, you know, freaking myself out. I have to take the GMAT on the 17th of March, which is the last day I can take it in order to have the scores transmitted to school. And because the application deadline is the 4th of April.
Now, help me out. What does GMAT stand for?
It's the Graduate Management Aptitude Test. It's kind of like when you go into college, you have to take SATs.
Sure.
This is what you have to take to get into graduate school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For, you know, MBA in management studies. Mm-hmm. There's different tests for different types of graduate studies. I think there's, gosh, I can't remember all of them. There's like one for engineering studies and mm-hmm. law and medicine and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what the GMAT is. So you have to take that. It's a, you know, it's a 200-question multiple choice thing that tests you on different reading comprehension and data analysis and a lot of math. And so it's, I have tons and tons of books and I am studying, but yeah. So, you know, I'll let you know how it goes. You know,
good
I figured, you know, what
you.
What is the worst thing that can happen? Seriously, I don't get in.
Right.
And at least I'll know, you know, that I have a year to kind of maybe take some additional classes yep. and kind of bone up on what I need to know, and then I can try it again. So,
well, exactly.
I figured, you know, yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
You tried. You mentioned mm-hmm. something a little while ago. Before I go any further, T is in Bristow, Virginia.
Ah, Bristover. No, why did I think he was in...
Bristow. Is it Bristow or Bristow?
Oh, Bristow. Okay.
Yeah, Bristow.
I have no idea why I thought he was in Manassas.
You mentioned something earlier, though. You said if Dina does something...
Dina does well.
Right.
What Dina doesn't do well, Dina doesn't do.
How much of that is tied to your interest level in what you're doing? Let me ask it a little different way. How do you get behind a project, you being a project manager, how do you get behind a project that you have no interest or enthusiasm for?
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
You've genuinely loved every project that's been hit. Well, now that you're at the senior level, it sounds like you get to pick them.
Well, I think that's what it is. It's been a very long time since I've had to take any projects that are not usually at the top of the corporate project list and have the visibility and the support and backing behind them. I don't usually get put on projects that are kind of smaller in nature and more run the business related. So, yeah, I'm kind of lucky that way.
Okay. I had to ask because I was in that situation a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
And it darn near caused me to switch jobs. But I stuck it out, fortunately.
And I can see where that could be a problem because I get bored very easily. And if something doesn't keep my interest and I don't see any value in it, I have a really hard time doing it. So although I can't think of any examples at work, there's been several things I can equate to that in my personal life that, you know, you just have to knuckle down and just do it, you know, just get it done and over with. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm also a perfectionist and an A-type personality and I don't like to fail. So that, I think, really is the crux of it.
That helps.
Yeah. I'm getting used to not being that way, though, as I get older.
And learning to relax.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And saying it's okay to not be the best at anything I do and to realize that, you know, sometimes you have to fall down a couple of times to learn something. And so I'm trying not to be so risk adverse when it comes to that.
This is the part where the listener needs to pay attention because I'm getting all kinds of good advice here. When Chuck is talking, you can, you know, go type or read your email or something. When Dean is talking, pay attention.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm sure my podcast listeners would beg to differ with you. It's like, all right, hurry up. Get to the interview, would you?
No, it's not that bad.
Yeah, that's true, because you listen every once in a while.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I even caught your little short one that said, sorry, technical difficulties. We'll get back to that interview later.
Oh, what
happened?
So embarrassing.
You have to...
You know, I'm not really quite sure exactly technically what happened because while we were talking, I didn't hear any interference or anything on the line. We were on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went back to edit the second part of the interview, about 10 minutes into the file, all of a sudden I had this humming noise right over the top of our recording. And it was in the audio file. So it wasn't like all of a sudden it was just my headphones going bad or something.
Right.
And I couldn't get rid of it. I mean, there was nothing I could do to get rid of it. It was a very loud humming noise. And there wasn't anything I could do. And I thought, you know, there's just no way I can put it out like that. So I had to, you know, email Bus and apologize. And he started cracking up. He thought that was pretty funny.
Thanks for the sympathy.
Yeah. He was like, well, you know, we'll record it again. So we're going to try to get together maybe on Sunday. But yeah, it was just the weirdest thing. And well, I think what it is I think one of the cables that I use is like loose.
Oh,
so,
no.
And I think it was, I'm trying to remember when I record. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, now I'm thinking about it. I'm actually plugged into the source that goes directly into my machine, so I would hear that, wouldn't I?
Right. I've had to deal with that before. The other one that's caught me off guard that was really irritating was the machine that I record on. It all of a sudden started. I recorded an interview. Oh, I forgot who it was, but I was listening to it through the headphones, and it sounded fine, but when I went to play the playback, it was all... What happened?
What the heck is that?
It turned out that my hard drive was so fragmented that it was trying to write here, then trying to write there, and it was too busy seeking that it couldn't effectively keep up and record and lay down the bits. I went, oh, darn. So it's very important to remember to defrag your hard drive periodically so it can lay down contiguous.
Yeah, that's actually a good piece of advice.
Yeah. Because
I have a 160 gigabyte hard drive, and... I started having problems, and I checked it out, and I had less than 10% of my space left. And it was because of all the audio files that I had, because, you know, I just wasn't cleaning up all my old files. And I'm one of those people that I'm still not very good at editing, so I save things off periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got, like, you know, 650 gigabyte. I don't know. I'm being...
Well,
yeah,
and then when you do delete all that, you're going to have all these vacancies on your hard drive. So
you want to defrag all that off.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I also took all of the videos that I had for my iPod out of my library because I love watching my little TV shows on my video iPod. So it's what I get to do. I have really bad what's the word I'm looking for? It's not amnesia because that's when you can't remember things when you can't sleep.
Oh,
why can I think of that word?
Let's see. Read this book if you've got...
not sleeping.
Now, we do have amnesia. We can't remember the word.
And
you know the listener is yelling it at us right now.
You know, so anyway, it's like when you can't sleep. So my husband is one of these people that has this gift of it doesn't matter where he is, or what's going on in his life, when it's 9 o'clock, he's asleep and the lights can be on and I can be getting up and out of bed. I've got my laptop on my lap. I'm, you know, listening to music. I'm shuffling papers. He's asleep. So what I try to do is I like to watch my little video iPod to try to get me to go to sleep. So I have a lot of TV shows and I wasn't synchronizing them on my iPod. Insomnia, thank you. That's the word.
The only word that was coming to mind was anesthesia.
And I'm sure people listening to this will probably wish they had that. Because we're talking about defragging hard drives. Anyway, to the end. Yeah, I went ahead and defragged. And life is good now.
My brain needs defragging. There's these big open gaps that aren't being used for anything. And then every other thing is trying to be written to the same space. It just isn't working.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah. Oh, it's so difficult getting old.
I can't wait to be 85.
Seriously?
I won't have to remember anything. At least now I'm trying to remember it. It's just causing me embarrassment.
I have a grandmother that's almost 91, and she is just sharp as a tack and still lives by herself and drives and travels coast to coast.
And, oh, that's wonderful.
And she's, you know, she says all the time that she wakes up and has a little bit of a start when she sees herself in the mirror because she just does not remember getting that old and she doesn't feel that old. Like mentally, she just, if she has a hard time just grasping the concept of being that old. And that's how I feel. You know, I feel like I'm in my 20s. And then when I get up in the morning and I see the wrinkles and, you know.
And the back is aching and you go, oh, I'm 85.
What the heck happened?
Didn't I just say something like that? Women go to bed.
Yeah, that was not very funny,
by the way. That wasn't funny. Yeah. Yeah. I got lots more not funny things. Let me see. What did... Ponderisms. Protons have mass? I didn't even know they were Catholic. Oh, here. I've got my rim shot here.
That's funny.
There
oh,
we go.
Nice.
All I ask is a chance to prove that money can't make me happy.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
They told
prove
me
it.
I was... They told me I was gullible, and I believed them.
Where'd you get these?
What if there were no hypothetical questions? Mark Shepard sent me these back in November, and I've been hanging on to them just right here.
That's
just
funny. Just for this very conversation. Oh,
is it my imagination, or do buffalo wings taste like chicken?
Oh, that's funny.
All right. I think we're out of time. We're going to come back and talk about kids again next time.
Yeah, we didn't get to kids, did we?
Nope.
I think that was the main topic you wanted to talk about.
That was one of them. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. I've got a lot of traveling time. I've got a lot of traveling time to think up all kinds of new topics.
Excellent.
So we will have a lineup. We will do this again.
I would love to.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's a lot of fun. Well, it's my pleasure.
Alrighty. If you want to get a hold of me, you can email me, chalk@chalkchat.com, and see how the marital therapy is going. And if you want to call a listener line, that's always welcome, too. 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428 if you're phonetically challenged. And Dina, you want to give them your particulars?
No, because last time we totally messed it up.
You're supposed to keep them on a post-it note right next to the monitor.
I can't find post-it notes on my desk. My
Those
desk
are the
looks
root
like
of all evil. Do not buy or use post-it notes.
Oh, but they're such a beautiful little invention, though, aren't they?
And they're awful. They make your office look ugly. They cause chaos and disorder. I'm against them. I will say I use them for one thing and one thing only. Bookmarks.
They're very good bookmarks.
They're very good bookmarks. You know, mm-hmm, you want to mark 7 or 8 pages? Okay, second thing I use them for. Movable notes. If I have a recurring note or something I need to carry from page to page. See, I have weekly one-on-ones with my staff, like all good managers should, right?
Right.
And if I have an issue that needs to be carried along, I don't want to write it down. I did this on, talk to Steve about this particular topic or asked him this question on January 22nd. Oh, January 29th, Monday meeting, got to move it. I just take that post-it note and I can keep moving it along.
See, maybe that's the way you should measure how good your employees really are by how many times you have to move their post-it notes forward.
Well, that would be a good measure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, post-it note 16 was here. Something you're writing down, Obviously, it's something you need to remember to ask them about, which I'm assuming would require some resolution of some sort.
Usually, yes. But if it's a new open-ended question that I want to just add to part of my practice, picked up one this past week.
Add-on kind of thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this past week I said, is there anything I can do to change or improve? No, I can't remember to ask that every week unless it's sitting there at the bottom of the page. And I'm not going to write it every person every page.
That's smart, though. That's a really good idea. Make sure you have those key questions handy so you remember to ask them.
Bookmarks and movable notes.
Put that on your bedpost.
And
then you can remember to ask your wife every night before you go to bed.
You just opened up a whole new can of worms because we came this close.
We were going to stop talking.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, if anybody wants to
we'll talk about furniture next time. I'm adding it to the list. Furniture.
And you know what? I remembered my phone number.
Insomnia.
Insomnia. Sleep apnea is what I was trying to say.
That's where you stop breathing.
I know.
That one I knew.
Oh, Chuck, you're a hoot. We'll stop now, okay?
Glad you liked it. Good night, everybody.
Nighty-night.
And if you're out for your morning walk, happy day.
Good morning. Good night. Oh, jeez.
Bye.
Bye. Good morning. Good night. Oh, jeez.
Bye.
Bye.
Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.